我们低头祷告。
Let's bow our heads and pray.
恩主，我们把剩下两堂也恭敬的交托在你的面前。
Dear Lord, we commit the following two workshops in your hand.
愿主与我们同在。
May you be with us.
这样祷告，奉耶稣基督的圣名。
We pray in the name of Lord Jesus.
Amen.昨天我们看完哥林多前书十三章，那没有讲完全部。
Yesterday we did not finish First Corinthians chapter 13.
所以我想我们还是要翻到哥林多前书十三章来。
So we are going back to First Corinthians chapter 13.
那我稍微把这个自己的内容稍微做一点调整，所以盼望可以把整个照原定的计划可以讲完。
So we adjust all my the things I want to say. So perhaps you can finish it.
昨天我们明白哥林多前书十三章是保罗针对哥林多教会的问题，要他们明白在一切恩赐的使用是应当以爱做出发点，为以爱做根基而来表达。
So yesterday we were talking about the Corinthian church. Paul wanted them to everything do according to love.
所以从经文第六节第四节开始，是我们非常熟悉家喻户晓的爱的诗篇。那这段经文常常我们会用在夫妻的关系、朋友之间的关系，或者对人的勉励，用爱来彼此勉励。
This paragraph of love we usually describe the relationship between husband and wife.
但我们需要明白，当保罗在用这个爱的这个诗篇的时候，他是在这个为了哥林多教会的方言问题而做这个很深入的爱的探讨。
Paul was using that to discuss love, using that this as a parable.
那我们要跳过这一段爱的诗篇的解释，所谓爱是很久忍耐，又有恩慈等等，一直到结束。
And we will jump over that. Love is patient, love is kind, etc., etc.
这又是第八节到第十三节，保罗提到这个爱的优越性。
And also the talks about the superiority of love from verse 8 through 13.
因为对保罗来说，他感觉所有的属灵恩赐都是有限的，都是短暂的，只是属于这个现世代的。
And because Paul described every other gifts is temporary and time limited.
所以当先知的预言应验了以后，就不复存在了。
So when the prophecy was fulfilled, then it doesn't exist anymore.
那方言主要也是人与神之间交通的一个奥秘的工具。
And prophecy is also a tool for the relationship between man and God.
当主再来的时候，方言也要停止。
And when Christ came, then the speaking in tongue would be stopped.
知识的奥秘也是短暂的。
And also the mystery of knowledge is also temporary.
当神把自己显明给人世人来看的时候，也把他自己的奥秘借着耶稣基督来彰显完全的时候，上帝的知识在那个时候也要过去。
So after God revealed himself to man, then the knowledge will be gone.
所以预言、方言、知识充其量不过是上帝整个启示的部分而已。
So speaking in tongues, the knowledge and the prophecy, they are only the tools of prophesying.
他们有他们的重要性。
They have their importance.
但同时也需要明白，他们是短暂的，是有限的。
And also, they are very limited and they are temporary.
然而，爱却是永恒，不会停止。
But this love is eternal; it will not stop.
因为圣经说，神就是爱。
Because God is love.
即使说到在永恒的事物里面，保罗提到有三样，一个是信，一个是望，一个是爱，但他最后仍然强调。爱是最大的。
So in eternity there are three things that remain: faith, hope and love. But the greatest of this is love.
经文接下来在永恒和短暂的对照，在完全与不完全的对照的时候，保罗举了两个例子。
So between eternity and temporary, between everlasting and temporary, there are two things that Paul would like to talk about.
第一个例子，他是用小孩子来做例。
First of all, he used aChild as an example.
他说孩子小的时候，他们讲话、言语、意念都是像小孩子。
So when they talk, when they think, when they do things, they still like child.
那么的愉快，那么的有趣。
And it's naive, it's interesting.
可是如果他们长大了。
But when they grow up,
如果他们的讲话还是如此，就不是那么好玩了。
If their style will still remain like a child, then it's not that fun.
如果一个长大成熟的人，我们仍然盼望他不放弃孩子的那样的心思和形态，保罗说这是不对的。
If an adult still did not want to give up his childish things, then this is not right.
保罗第二个例子是用镜子做例子。
Paul uses the second example as a mirror.
在哥林多教会当时候的镜子是一种铜器做的，反照的时候你没有办法看得很清楚。
So when at that time they used a brass as a mirror, when you reflect your image, it wasn't very clear.
可以说是一种间接性的反射。
It could talk about negative reflective.
这就好像人对上帝的认识不过是依靠上帝给人的启示那部分的启示的认识而已。
Just like God revealed to man, he used a secondary revealing.
所以我们的所知是有限的，我们知道的是一部分。
What we knew was very limited. We just know part of it.
可是当主再来的时候，一切都清楚了。
So when Jesus came, everything will be revealed.
就像主知道我们完全一样。
Just like the Lord knows us, just like that, very clearly.
所以保罗在这里到底在说什么呢？他说儿时的成就，小孩子的那种气氛，使哥林多教会看重方言而轻视爱。
Just like a child that he thinks and he acts like a child, and the Corinthian church looked at the gift of the speaking in tongues was just like that.
引致哲学使哥林多教会非常的自满和骄傲。
They really look in at the philosophy very important, and they feel they were very proud of themselves.
他们以为看到了一部分的真理，看到一小部分的启示，就以为懂得全部了。
They thought they only understand part of the truth, and they thought they understand the whole truth.
然而上帝的真理的全部就是爱。
But the truth of the God's love is love.
方言不过是一个部分。
The speaking in tongues was only part of it.
应当是爱才是中心。
The love should be the center.
所以保罗说，不是他已经达到完全成熟了。
Paul said he did not think he's complete. He's perfect.
然后他主要指出是不要我们骄傲，不要自满，让我们像哥林多教会的弟兄姐妹一样，盼望我们在属灵的成长上仍然有属灵的成长空间。
So that we still have room to improve ourselves, to grow up.
保罗需要写十三章，好让他可以继续为十四章做铺路工作。
So Paul needs to write the 13th chapter so that he would have some kind of setup for the chapter 14.
在十二章他提到了应当要合一。
In chapter 12, he say they should be reunited in Christ.
提到我们在教会的每一个肢体都是重要的。
Talk about every body of Christ is important.
在十三章他强调爱。
In chapter 13, he emphasized love.
他明白上帝的工作不可能在纷争中间，在不敌对的环境中间长大。
And he said that the work of God cannot be completed in a contradictory environment.
所以保罗讲完这些事情以后，他已经为自己预备了一些空间，已经预备好了要来跟哥林多教会这个方言混乱的事情来正面和他们坦诚相对。
So and then he set up some of the places for chapter 14 to have room to grow.
你看就是这三章的结构是步步为营。
You see the setup was very interesting.
保罗在十三章里面真的是在十四章接着他要在爱里面说他的诚实话了。
So in chapter 14 he really talked about love in honest.
但他也盼望他们在接受十三章的教导以后，他们能够在四章里面能够用爱，在爱里头来接纳。
So he really would hope that after they read chapter 13, they really can talk that everything in honest and frank.
在整章十四章，保罗提到对先知的讲道以及方言的恩赐，他来要提到方言的恩赐的有限性。
So he would like to.Compare two things, speaking in tongues and preaching like a prophet.
所以他把这两个东西拿来做比较。
So he compared these two things together.
他说先知的讲道应当在功能上，在优先的次序上应该要大于方言。
The function of preaching like a prophet should be in the level should be much higher than speaking in tongues.
第一方面，他提到的是在建造功能、建造教会的功能上，先知的讲道应当要大于方言的恩赐。
To build up the church, the prophet's preaching should be much larger than speaking in tongues.
所以十四章第一节，他就切中要义的，就说我盼望你们要追求属灵的恩赐，但其中更要羡慕的是做先知讲道。
So in verse 1 of chapter 14, he said, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy.
方言恩赐的限制在哪里呢？
What is the limit of speaking in tongues?
在第二节到第四节，第一个限制是说方言只建立个人。
Because anyone who speaks in tongues does not speak to man but to God. Indeed, no one understands him.
方言是人和神中间在分享上帝奥秘的事情。
So speaking in tongues is to share God's mystery things.
别人分享不到。
Other people cannot share with it.
方言只是建立自己。
So speaking in tongues is to build up yourself.
谈不到对别人的建造、造就。
You cannot build up other people.
先知讲道是分解神的话。
The prophecy will be to build up other people.
很自然的，人们就得到造就、得到安慰、得到激励。
Naturally, man will be nurtured when man will be built up, when will be encouraged.
第五到第十二节，第二个方言的限制是方言有翻译的限制。
Also, the chapter verse 5-12, it talks about speaking in tongues should need interpretation.
说方言通常跟翻方言是连在一起。
Speaking in tongues and interpret the tongue should be related together.
如果在聚会当中没有翻方言，那说方言呢就受了限制。
If in a meeting, then there's no interpretation of the tongues, then the speaking in tongues should be limited.
因为别人听不懂。
Because other people could not understand.
不明白就起不了造就的作用。
If he cannot understand, then he cannot have the relationship.
保罗很喜欢举例子。
Paul would like to set up an example.
所以他为了要表明这个方言的限制，他举了三个例子来说明这个情形。
Because of he set up three examples.
第一，他用弹琴吹箫的例子。
First of all, he liked to play the instrument.
我明白，有一次主耶稣在街上行走的时候。
One day Jesus was walking on the street.
然后他就描述孩童对他们的同伴说：“我们向你们吹笛，你们不跳舞；向你们举哀，你们倒不捶胸。”
I will play the flute to you, and you did not dance. And when I blow the horn to you, you did not dance.
基本上，乐器是有助于一个气氛的养成。
Actually, the instrument can help to set up the atmosphere of things.
婚礼的气氛应当是很喜乐的。
The atmosphere of a wedding ceremony should be very joyful.
丧礼应当是哀伤的。
In a funeral service, it should be very sad.
但是当所弹的乐器没有分别的时候，
when the instrument cannot distinguish between those,
婚礼上听不出是婚礼的奏乐。
When you are in a wedding ceremony, you cannot hear the joyful music.
那谁还可以明白所弹奏的是什么呢？
Who can understand what would be the real meaning of playing?
保罗举第二个例子是战场上的号角声。
The second thing Paul used as a horn.
他说号角声也是有分别的。
When the horn was blown, it should be distinguished.
各就各位，有各就各位的号角声。
When you should be prepared, then you should have the horn of preparation.
预备攻击或者是隐藏，有不同的号角声。
When you are ready to attack or when you want to hide yourself, you should listen to different kinds of horns.
所以当敌人来攻击的时候，
So when enemies were attacking,
我们吹那无定的号角，那又怎么样能作战呢？
If we blow the horn of goalless,
所以保罗说，
can you be prepared to war?
所以保罗在第九节说，如果舌头说话是不容易明白的话，那是向空气说话。
If your tongue talk a certain dialect, then nobody can understand. You're talking to the air.
第三个例子，保罗用世上的语言来做例子。
The third thing God set up as an example was the language of this world.
好，在世界有许多不同的语言。
There are many different kinds of language in this world.
每一种语言的背后都有它的意思。
Every language that has its own meaning.
假如有一些人正在说一些重要的提示。
For example, if some people were talking about some instruction.
而诉说目前的危险境界。
And also tell you about the dangerous situation you are in.
但我却听不明白那声音的意思是什么。
But I could not understand what the language was talking about.
那所说的根本没有意义。
And it will be meaningless to me.
所以保罗提到这是第二个限制，说方言有需要翻译的限制。
So that it talk about, Paul talk about the limitation, there should be some interpretation there.
第十三节到第十九节，第十九节第三个限制是说方言，限制了一个人运用他的悟性。
And also the 15 to 19, Paul talks about the speaking in tongues that have a limitation because of it will just add his intellectual mind.
什么是用悟性祷告呢？
What do you mean by pray in your own intellectual
mind? 所谓悟性祷告就是用理性，用我们的知识，用我们的心智来祷告。
When you pray in intellectuality, that means you pray that you can understand.
相反过来，用方言祷告就是不用理性，不用心智来祷告。
On the other hand, when you pray in tongues, then you cannot understand it.
然而，用悟性祷告，照保罗的见解是，悟性祷告已经包含了灵啊方言的祷告。
You pray in intellectual.
抱歉，用悟性的祷告已经包含了用灵祷告。
And that includes that you pray in the spirit.
所以当我悟性祷告的时候，我一方面用我的理性，用我的心智，我的灵也参与在里头。
And when I pray in intellectual prayers, then I use my spirit to pray.
所以我们没有办法说用悟性祷告是比那用灵性祷告更不属灵。
And we cannot say when we use our intellectual mind to pray, it's more unspiritual than we pray in the spirit.
因为先知讲道和说方言都是用灵说话。
Because prophecy and also speaking in tongues, they are all speaking in the spirit.
如果要有不同，就只是那用悟性祷告的，不只用灵，他也用悟性说话。
And when they pray in their spirituality, in the intellectuality, that means they pray in the spirit.
所以有一些人以为基督教是反理性、反知识。
So some people may think that Christianity is anti-intellectuality.
实际上，保罗在这里是要为理性、为知识来争辩。
And Paul here was debating all on this.
所以保罗又继续举例子。
Paul also set up examples.
他用在崇拜中的祷告跟歌唱做例子。
He used worshiping as an example.
他坚持我们要用灵祷告，也要用悟性祷告。
He emphasized that we should pray in intellectual mind and also pray in the spirit.
用灵祷告跟用悟性祷告，在保罗的意见里面是，我们追求的不是一种癫狂式的、疯狂式的。一种感情情绪式的祷告。
What he meant was not we are not should not be praying in emotionally things.
保罗盼望我们在诗歌里面，在祷告中有圣经的真理，在唱诗的时候，除了音韵，在他的诗歌里面还要表达神学。
So also Paul wants us when we sing, we also to express theology in our hymns.
在我大学的时候，有一个很属灵的同工。
When I was in college, I had a very spiritual.
很多人都感觉如果有他在会场，那个会场就有神大大的同在。
And many people could feel that if he's there, then God will be with them.
他的祷告方式也跟别人不同。
The style of his prayer is different from other people.
因为每次祷告的时候，他要停一下，主啊，就感觉那样的祷告让人感觉很不一样。
So when he prayed, he would stop and then, cry out for Lord, Lord, and then make people feel that's different.
那你们都听过，也明白这个事情。
You have heard it and you understand that.
我是一直到三年前我才听到这个解释。
Until 3 years ago, I heard that explanation.
那是好像是唐牧师有一次解释这个祷告的时候有人喜欢这样，是因为从贾玉明来的，是不是？
So when they pray like this, then it's from the late Reverend 贾玉明.
因为这位中国的传道先辈贾牧师，他祷告的时候就是这样子。
When this senior statesman of the missionary pastors, his prayer was like that.
因为他是一个名传道，所以大家觉得这样是一个属灵的一个标准格式，所以大家学着这样做。
So he was a very famous pastor, so everybody thought maybe if he had done this, maybe everybody should follow his footsteps.
或者他自己觉得冤枉。
So he thought it was kind of falsely accusing him.
他说我是没有办法的。
He said I cannot help it.
他说我的牙齿满牙都是假牙，所以我怕它掉下去，所以我祷告的时候一定要把它吸住。
So when I was praying, all my mouth there was a false tooth.So I hope I can do this in order to pull up my false tooth so they won't fall out.
刚提到说方言的这三个有限性以后，保罗继续用自己为例来做结论。
So also Paul used his own example as the conclusion.
他说：“我说方言比你们众人都多。
”He spoke in tongues more than all those people.
但在教会中间，我宁愿用五句教导人的悟性的话，也不愿意用万句的方言。
So he would rather use five sentences of encouraging words for other people, in intellectual mind, rather than 10,000 of speaking in tongues.
方言祷告的方言。方言的第一个限制是因为它是与个人有关，与建造个人有关，与别人无关。第二个限制是什么呢？
The limitation of speaking in tongues, the first one it was related to yourself, to no relation to other people.
先知讲到在对外的福音的开展和传扬是用方言的祷告所没有办法及的。
So and then also in prophecy you can encourage more peopleAnd the speaking in tongues cannot do it.
如果你把 steak 跟 marshmallow 放在孩子的前面，
if you put a steak or marshmallow put in front of a child,
很显然的，他们不会要牛排，他们一定要 marshmallow.
They would prefer the marshmallow instead of the steak.
如果有几个小孩子在一起玩，
if there are several children were playing together,
你听他们说话，
you listen to them.
很多的话语都是这样， look at me.
Many times it was like that. Look at me.
See my toy.
Look, see my toys.
That's mine.
这是我的。
Mine is better than yours.
我的比你的好。
这个就是小孩子。
This is the child.
当哥林多教会为方言而感觉骄傲，为方言而争论的时候
，When the Corinthian Christians when they were proud of their speaking in tongues，
保罗说他们就像小孩子一样。
Paul said they were just like kids.
所以保罗强调说，现在该是时候了。
Paul said this is the time.
哥林多教会应当调整他们对价值观念的尺度。
The Corinthian church should adjust their attitude to their value.
学习做成熟基督徒的判断。
To learn how to be mature Christian to judge.
不要只是渴慕外面的表现。
Don't just look for the outside appearance.
不要只是注重外在的印象。
Don't look at the outside appearance.
不要只是想夸耀自己、炫耀自己，也要想到别人、想到整体。
Don't boast about yourself.And you should think of other people.
于是二十一节到二十五节，接下来保罗要说要做羡慕做先知讲道，因为他可以因着这样讲道的功能，使别人悔改，使别人信主，让人可以敬拜上帝。
From verse 21 to 25, it says, you should really look for the prophecy instead of speaking in tongues.
而更重要的，他说方言若是这样继续下去，会使教会里面那些心里硬心的更硬心。不信的人造成他们更多的笑柄。
If you have some non-believers at the church, speaking in tongues will make them more hardened than their hearts.
在这牧会十多年的经验中间，有不少的没有信主的人，我跟他们交朋友，也有机会到我家里来。
And during this more than 10 years of pastoring a church, I have many opportunity to make friends with non-believers.Sometimes you invite them to my home, and sometimes they invite me to their home.
有一次就有一个这样的朋友到我家里来，还特别把电视机就一打开。
So one day a friend of mine came to my house, and as soon as he walked into the house, he turned on the TV.
那是我们那里的四十台，他要我特别看看那些疯狂的、巅峰的电视台的那些剧作。
And he would like me to see at that channel 40 those crazy dramas.
有些很多的电视教会的节目。
Many church programs.
这些人他们收看不是因为他们有兴趣。
Those people who look at this channel not because of their interest.
他们收看是因为要特别要指出基督教的荒诞，要凸显他们对那种事实的不幸。
And they particularly want me to take a look because they want me to see those things that I would not like to see.
在我们信徒中间有很多人，有时候也会说一些他做的梦以及一些梦话。
Sometimes we will also say some things we should say in our dreams.
很多人常常看见异象，做到梦到异梦。
Some people may have different versions, visions. Some have different dreams.
看见天使。
They look saw the angels.
是做见证的时候，很多都是属于这个类型的一些见证。
So when they bear testimony, these are all their type of testimony.
请不要误会我的意思，我不是说不赞成。接纳这些有这些事实的事情。
Don't misunderstand me. I believe in those things.
但很多不信的人听到这些，他们是莫名其妙的。
Many non-believers, when they hear or they saw these things, they feel kind of lost.
保罗在这里用爱的心境要指出一个事实，要告诉他们说，我们应当为那不信的人在我们里面有一些持守。
So we should be really careful for those non-believers.
不信的人对保罗来讲，在他的眼光中是重要的。
Those non-believers to Paul, they were very important.
而这些人难道不应当是教会整个事工的核心吗？
Are those people not supposed to be the core of the ministry of the church?
难道这些人不应当是事工教会事工在进行，我们应当所做的评估吗？
They should be the review of our ministry.
所以保罗一方面鼓励信徒要邀请人不同的人到礼拜堂去。
So Paul would like to invite different kind of people to the church.
但又一方面心里恐惧，如果这样的人到了礼拜堂，看见这样的事情，大家都说谎言，人家以为他们都发狂了，精神错乱了。
So he was very afraid that if Paul invited several non-believers to the church and they saw those people speaking in tongues.And now of all that, they thought those were crazy people.
所以要再一次强调先知讲道的重要。
So he re-emphasized the importance of the prophecy.
方言是一种超自然的现象。
Speaking in tongues is a supernatural phenomenon.
但这现象的产生并不使一个人就因此成为基督徒。
But this phenomenon does not make that person Christian.
我们已经一再的强调，这种现象在异教的信仰也有发生。
So we also want to emphasize that this phenomenon also occur in foreign religion.
恐怕他们的情况比我们还多还广。
Maybe there is more often happen to them.
然而神的道却比一刀两刃的剑更快。
But the word of God is quicker than the sword of the Holy Spirit.
当人的内心被神的道吸引，被神的道所摸到的时候。
When man's heart was touched by God's word,
人的心灵就得到复苏。
And then it was revital.
这道可以解开人心中的意念。
And that can open up the minds of a human being.
明白自己是个罪人，愿意认罪、悔改，然后经历得救的见证。
And also he can understand he himself is a sinner and he needs repentance.
这也是在基督教的神学在。悔改这个道德性的事情，使基督教和其他的宗教划分成为截然不同的宗教的最大的分别。
So and then that makes the difference between Christianity and other religions.
一个若是重视上帝话语的教会
，If a church is paying much attention to the word of God，
有不信的人进来
，If a non-believer comes in，
保罗说他们要被话语就劝醒了
，And they might be because of the word of God they might be awakened，
他们心中的隐情就要显露了。
And then they will show their secret things.
甚至他们到最后还会敬拜、匍匐在上帝的面前，认罪悔改，并且说：“上帝真在这里。”
Maybe they will worship with God, worship with them to God, and then they will say, "God is still here."
所以现在保罗就从方言的角度就跳到先知讲到的内涵。
So from speaking in tongues, Paul jumped to the prophecy.
从二十六节开始，保罗就提到一些实际的做法。
From verse 26 on, Paul was talking about the real happening.
第一方面，他说方言方面，我们不要禁止方言。
First of all, we should not forbid the speaking in tongues.
二十六节提到，接下来提到几个方言方面的原则。
Verse 26, he talks about what we should do about speaking in tongues.
换句话说，保罗把方言也放在先知讲道的里面一部分。
Paul also put in the speaking in tongues as a part of a prophecy.
但是他要提到一些原则来限制方言。
But he would like to set up some rules for the speaking in tongues.
第一个是造就原则，在二十六节。
First of all, he want to establish other people.
应当要大处着眼，凡事以教会是否能够得到造就为大前提。
And then he will say whether the whole church will be benefited as the general outline.
二十七节是第二个原则，是翻译原则。
The verse 27 is the rule of interpretation.
方言一定要透过翻译。
Must be through interpretation.
使会众能够明白了解到底在说些什么。
So that the congregation will understand what's going on.
这样方言才有它价值。
Then the speaking in tongues may have its value.
同时每次只有一个人翻译。
And every time it should be only one interpreting.
二十七节第三方面提到轮流原则。
And also the later part of verse 27, it talks about the guideline of taking turns.
假如每一次不是只有一个人同时说方言，
if every time is more than one speaking in tongues,
或者有很多人同时说的话，他说要一个一个来，
Or many people try to talk all at once, then it should be one after another.
这样翻译才成为可能。
Then interpretation could be possible.
二十八节是安静原则。
The verse 28 talks about how to be silent.
这一节表示是否有翻译的人员或者有翻译的恩赐在那个教会中间是可以预先知道的。
And then verse 28 tells that you can know beforehand whether there's such an interpretation.
所以可能在教会的平常的教会生活中间已经有一些人被观察被认识，他们可以运用翻方言的恩赐。
So many people was observed and maybe they can be counted as an interpreter.
如果没有翻译恩赐的人，那时候那方言的人就只好安静。
If there's no interpreters there, then they should be quiet.
自己在其他的时候自己对上帝讲认。
You can talk to God in other times.
否则在会众中说了，不但浪费别人的时间。
But if you do it in the whole congregation, you will waste other people's time.
当外人进来的时候，也让人觉得不愉快。
And also when outsiders came in, they thought you are crazy.
第二方面，他提到先知讲道方面。
And the second thing he was talking about prophecy.
二十九节是提到时间的原则。
Verse 29 it talks about the outline of time.
先知讲道，无论是用悟性或者悟性传讲，或者有翻译的方言。
Whether you are using an interpretation or intellectually,
都有时间性的限制。
There is a time limit there.
两个人或者三个人不能够无限制的下去。
Two or three people, but should never be unlimited of time.
因为整个聚会的时间，除了讲道之外，还有其他敬拜的内容。
Because the whole service, besides sermon, there's other some worshiping.
所以我们在每堂的聚会安定时间，这是一个属灵的原则。
So every time we should set up every service, we should set up time because this is the outline of a spiritual.
二十九节继续提到第二个预备原则。
The second thing about the preparation.
悟性的讲道一定要有默想，要有研读上帝的话，然后要有预备才行。
If you do it intellectually, you should have meditation and some other things.
因为讲道是经过一些沉思、经过默祷、经过预备才能讲的。
Because prophecy should be after preparation of meditation and the word of God and everything.
因为讲道的人不能随便讲。
Because the prophesier should not be talking in vain.
他讲的要受到一些明验的明辨的考证考验。
They will be going through tests.
当然三十节提到有另外一种信息是超自然的启示。
And also in verse 30 there will be a supernatural revealing.
这种传讲是不需要透过正规的预备。
And this kind of preaching should not through a general preparation.
那这是上帝一时的启示和感动。
This is the revelation of God.
那这样的机会不是那么样的长。
And that kind of opportunity is not that long.
通常是需要一些时间的预备才行。
And it should have a preparation beforehand.
以前有一个黑人牧师，他就有这种特别一时来的临时的恩典跟恩赐。
Once there was a black pastor, he had such a gift.
他不必预备讲章。
He never prepared his sermon.
所以他每一个主日一到，他就站上讲台，就很自然启示他特别的信息。
So and then when the time comes, he just stood at the pulpit and then he just can do it very naturally.
这个 Dr. Martin Luther King 很羡慕他这个恩赐。
So Dr. Martin Luther King was really long for that kind of gift.
多好，不用预备，每个主日一到就上台讲道了。
So he did not have to prepare beforehand, and then when the time comes, he just go up there and stood up there and speak.
所以他就学习在上帝面前什么也不预备了。
So he tried to prepare that.
他说上帝一定会启示他，等候，他就等候神的启示。
God will reveal it to him, so he was waiting for God's revelation.
他就昼间每天等，每天等。
So he was waiting every day and every day and every day.
礼拜一、礼拜二、礼拜三、礼拜四，一直每一天一天过去。
Every day was passing through, passing by like that.
到了礼拜六的晚上，上帝还没有给他特别启示。
So at the Saturday night evening, God did not reveal to him.
他说：“我再等等看，明天早上说不定神就给我信息了。”
Okay, perhaps God will give me this message tomorrow.
礼拜天早上，真的神给他信息了。
So Sunday morning, God gave him a sermon.
上帝对他说。
God to him.
以后你每个礼拜还是好好的预备讲章。
So every day, every weekday, you should prepare your sermon.
我们每一个人，不管你是带主日学、带孩童、带成人，当我们在做这种上帝话语的传讲的时候，需要明白这个先知讲道有预备的原则。
So when we, no matter whether we are leading a adult Sunday school or children Sunday school, you have to prepare for it.
你千万不要到了礼拜天，要到小孩子去教主日学的时候，你说上帝，你给我特别的启示。
You don't wait till the last minute and ask God to give you a special revelation.
三十节提到第三个原则是查验的原则。
The verse 30 also tell us to discern.
除了针对上述我们所说需要有预备之外，
except those we should prepare for it.
二十九节这里说，其余的就当慎思明辨。
And the rest should think about it.
我想主要在这里是对着这句话，是对着三十节那些得了启示站起来说话的人说的。
And verse 30 are those people who are waiting for the special revelation and speak to them.
有一些人得了自然的启示，然后就一下子就站起来说话。
Some people received that special revelation and they stood up and speak.
保罗的意思是说，对这样的事情应当要查验。
Paul should help.Ask us to discern about this certain this special revelation.
有一些经文可以帮助我们做一个查验的验证。
Some scripture can give us samples.
哥林多前书第十二章第三节。
First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3.
那你说到凡被神的灵感动的，没有说耶稣是可咒诅的，所以认耶稣基督是主。
Nobody will say Jesus should be cursed if he is touched by the Holy Spirit.
在约翰福音第一章四章第一节。
好吧，不要翻译，因为都可以听懂中文，好吧？好吧？
好
，Yeah.
Anyone doesn't understand English, Mandarin?
Oh, okay. Sorry.
约翰一书第四章第一节。
First John chapter 4 verse 1.
那里说，你们一切的灵，你们都不可都信，总要试验。
You have to test the spirits.
哪些是出于神的，哪些是不是出于神的
？All those who are from God and who are not from God.
凡灵认耶稣是基督成了肉身的，就是出于神的。
All those spirits that recognize Jesus as to become flesh that came from God.
另外，在哥林多前书十四章第一节那里要提到，如果这样，这个是使教会得造就的。
And also in First Corinthians chapter 14 verse 1 that will help to establish the church.
加拉太书提到是否显出圣灵的果子的。
Galatians told us that to show the show forth the spiritual fruit.
那这些都是查验的一些经文。
These are all the discerning scriptures.
帖撒罗尼迦前书五章二十一节告诉我们说，凡事要查验，但美善的要持守。
First Thessalonians chapter 5 tell us to discern and then to keep the good fruit.
第十方面是普遍的原则。
The fourth one is a universal guideline.
三十一节到三十三节。
31st to 33rd verse.
保罗说，每一个人都可以做先知讲道。
Everybody can be a prophet.
但有一个分别。
But distinguish.
每一个人都可以做先知，有功能性的讲道，但不是每一个人都做先知性的职分。
Many people can be a prophet to speak, but not everybody can be a prophet to do a prophet's work.
意思是我们每一个人都可以努力去明白真道，去学习真道，然后被真道安慰，也用这样的真道来安慰别人。
We can be comforted by the truth and the truth, and we use truth to comfort other people.
但不是每一个人都要成为有职分的传道人。
But not many people can become the identity of the prophet.
如果有人蒙圣灵的引导
，If a person was guided by the Holy Spirit,
做先知讲道
，to become a prophet.
保罗说他不能像哥林多信徒一样，因为圣灵催逼他。
He cannot be like a Corinthian Christian.Because of the Holy Spirit guided him.
即使当时候有圣灵有理由告诉他应当安静下来，他却不顾一切的要不停的讲下去。
And if the Spirit was stopping him and he tried to keep on going.
所以三十三节保罗说
，In 33rd verse, the Paul said,
如果有这样混乱的情况发生，这个催逼的灵可能有问题。
If because God is not a God of disorder but of peace.
因为上帝的本性不是混乱。
Because God is not a God of disorder.
而混乱的原因绝对不会是上帝造成的。
This disorder does not created by God.
第五个原则是顺服原则。
The fifth one is to obey.
三十四到三十六节。
34 through 36.
三十四节说，妇女在会中要闭口不言。
the women should remain silent in the churches.
如果从上下文的意思和经文的结构来看，保罗在这里指的不是不准妇女参加对先知讲道传讲这件事情。
Due to the context of this paragraph, Paul did not forbid the women to be silent in the whole church.
保罗所指的是不准姊妹们对先知讲道功能性的发表发出他们的探讨以及他们的评估以及他们的批判。
Paul did not would not like the women to discuss or kind of show respect to the prophets,
因为这样是违反圣父的原则。
Because applying this as a disqualifier.
这原则的根据是男人是女人的头。
This principle was according to the man was woman's head.
这是一个神圣秩序。
This is a holy order.
保罗所指的律法所说的，正是指这个原则。
Paul talked to the laws what they are pointing at was this point.
所以批评的事情在发生在哥林多教会里头。
So the judging things was happening in the Corinthian church.
而整个哥林多教会也不觉得有什么不对。
So that the whole Corinthian church did not feel it was wrong.
那我相信这是与哥林多教会他们自负有关系。
Because this was according to the order in the Corinthian church.
他们不理会其他的人怎么说法。
They don't care about other people.
采取自我行我素的态度。
They would like on to remain on their own way.
所以保罗就呼吁他们。
Paul called told them.
哥林多教会要跟众圣徒、众教会的做法一般，应当跟他们的做法一样。
They should be the same as the other churches.
妇女不要批评先知讲道。
Women should not criticize the prophets.
这样做会违反顺服的原则。
Because that will disobey the order of obeying.
三十六节更提醒哥林多的教会不要自负。
Don't boast too much on your own.
当然，关于妇女在教会中的侍奉、他们的角色、他们的地位，圣经有很多繁复的一些很多细节性的探讨跟交代。
So the church already has many things like that instruction in the Bible.
在今天的教会，慢慢的这些问题也被挖出来，更仔细的在神学、在圣经里面更深入去思考。
So this today, many people were discussing that many times.
那我们在这一堂课没有办法详细讲。
And we cannot discuss it detailedly in this lesson.
但我愿意提出一件事实。
But I want to show you one fact.
如果我们姐妹们觉得圣经对妇女在教会、在服事有一些不容易理解的故事。
If you being a sister, you cannot understand some of the things.
如果我们觉得这是一些对姊妹们的一些约束。
If you think there's a bondage to a sister.
让我们学习，至少可以学习一个态度。
At least we should learn one attitude.
就是相信这样的约束是上帝为了属他的人的好处而为我们设立的。
And this bondage is good for the people to combine us together.
这样我们就会学习珍惜这些约束。
And then we could remain the control on that.
而不是忍受。
Not to suffer.
很快的，我讲罗马书。
And then we will talk about Romans.
罗马书在第十二章三到八节。
Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 8.
罗马书是不同的背景。
Romans is a little different environment.
对保罗来说，基督的教义是相当重要的。
To Paul, the education of Christianity is very important.
所以整个罗马书是谈到因信称义这个基本的基督教教义。
And the whole book was talking about the basic Christianity.
所以保罗在一开始就说，我是耶稣基督的仆人保罗，奉召为使徒，特拜传上帝的福音。而这福音是什么呢？在一章十七节就简单的说，这福音就是一人必因信得生。
And then this people will be justified by faith.
所以接下来第一章保罗就提到一到十一章是教义性的解释。
From 1 through 11 is instructional teaching.
谈到我们都是罪人，有救恩的需要。
Talk about we are all sinners, we need the Christ.
谈到上帝借着耶稣基督这恩典要赐下，耶稣基督是一个得到救恩的方法。
Jesus is the only means of salvation.
六到八章提到我们人不但要得救以后要活出救恩的生活。
Chapter 6 to 8, we not only to show the fruit of salvation.
九到十一章提到这个范围包括犹太人，包括外邦人，都在这个救恩的范围里面。
And 9 to 12 talks about that salvation also show in the Gentiles and Jewish.
所以这个教义性的得救真理讲完以后，
So this instructional salvation was telling us.
保罗没有停在这个地方。
Paul did not stop at that place.
所以保罗继续讲到实践的一面。
Paul also talked about the time.
他说教义是死的，如果没有实践，没有一定要有实践。
So must have time to limit it.
如果没有教义做根基，而实践也可能成为盲从。
If there's no time limit, then we can follow the time blindly.
所以保罗谈到救恩的侍奉。
So Paul talked about the service of salvation.
那这十二章三到八节是在这个救恩侍奉里面的一部分的一段。
So Paul talked about the part of the service in the salvation.
所以保罗在这段里面就勉励我们，应当用恩赐来服侍上帝。
So Paul used this to encourage us to service God in our gifts.
我既然是在上帝这样重大的恩典中重价所买的，他为我拯救了我，我应当在我的救恩生活中间，在服事上应当怎么样来侍奉他。
So how can I serve God and in salvation?
所以保罗在这个角度里头来看恩赐。
So Paul used this as this look at the gifts. When we take a look at the gifts, we should take a look at it in the middle.
他说不要看自己过于所当看的，倒要谦恭自守，个人按着上帝所赐给我们的信心的大小来估量自己。
So we should look at it in the medium. Don't look at it over or don't look at it under.
所以保罗在这里提到一个很重要的原则，是 the measurement of faith, 是信心的估量。
It talks about the measurement of faith.
意思不是说我们不是指每一个人的信心是可以用计算机来量度的。
We cannot measure our faith by measurements.
不是说有的人信心大，有的人信心小，不是指这个意思。
Not say that some have bigger faith, some have no faith.
保罗是指多样化的恩赐，可以在基督的教会里面，而每一个人都应当凭信心，将神所个人赐给个人的恩赐，把它发表出来。
And God give us a different measure of faith so that we can fulfill it.
如果是如此，如果我们不参与教会的侍奉，我们从来没有办法来发现我的恩赐。
If we don't join the church, we cannot fulfill our service.
如果我们不愿意在不同的范围里面来侍奉神，我也没有办法发觉我到底有两样、有三样、有四样的恩赐。
If we don't use the gift, we cannot know whether how many gifts do I give? Do I have one or two or three or four?
如果一个人从来不愿意参与服事，也没有人可以肯定他到底有哪一项的恩赐。
And if he did not participate in the service, he will not recognize how many gifts he has.
如果把自己看得过高是可能的事情。
If you overlook yourself, it's possible.
把自己看得过低也有可能。
If you look it under yourself, then it's possible.
但保罗强调，我们不要把自己看得过高，也不要把自己看得过低。
So Paul encourages us not to look too high or too low.
他为他自己使徒的名分来辩解。
He debate about his apostleship.
他说，这个不是我的缘故，那是上帝的恩典，不是我的功劳，是上帝的恩赐。
It's not my what I can do, but what God had called me.
同样，他也不愿意否认他自己有使徒的职分。
And also, he did not deny his apostleship.
他说，这是上帝的恩赐。
This is the gift of God.
所以保罗也勉励我们，我们应当如此来肯定我自己。
So Paul should tell us to look at us positively.
如果我有某一样的恩赐在施行、在发表的时候，那是上帝所供应给我的。
If I have certain gift to fulfill, that God gave it to me.
若是如此，那是因为是为着上帝的荣耀的缘故。
If because of this, because of the glory of God.
有一次我去一个团契。
One day I was preaching at a fellowship.
有一个团契的主席在那个地方已经担任五年的工作。
One Christian, the fellowship chairman was being a chairman for 5 years.
那这个同工就来到牧师的面前。
So this person came to the pastor.
他说，在这些年间，我们已经完成了一些事工。
So at this time, we already finished several service.
他说，我想从这个主席的位置退下来。
I would like to get down from the chairmanship.
原因是说，我觉得我自己能够贡献的已经贡献了。
Because I the ones I can sacrifice already did.
这也是我能献贡献的极限呢。
This is also my limit of my sacrifice.
同时，在他的观察里面，有另外一个同工可以带领这样的一个团体团契再进一步。
So he also recognized some other co-worker could fulfill the chairmanship.
而他可以参与其他的事工来做一些辅导的工作。
And he can be the counselor.
他因为个人有这样的确信，就做这样的决定。
Because he has such a insight that he did such decision.
But 他的朋友，他的同工也因为爱他的缘故，也爱教会的缘故。
So their co-workers, because of they love the church,
他们也爱主的事工。
They love the service of Christ.
所以他们一同见证、印证他自己这样的抉择。
So they approve his decision.
这是一个见证来共同表明，这些人是为着上帝的荣耀，要把恩赐用在最合适的地方。
So they really approve that what his foresight that he approved. They approve that.
那这样的做法就是把自己的恩赐看得合乎中道。
And this is to look at the middle, not too high or too low.
十二章第四节到第五节是第二个方法，第二个原则是看用我们的恩赐怎么样呢？来彼此配搭。
How do we each one has body with many members and they and each member belongs to all other and function to each other.
第三，在六到八节。
The third one is the 6 to 8.
只要用我们的恩赐来尽心竭力。
We should try our gift to try our best.
所以每一个人领受恩赐各有不同。
And we, according to the grace given to us.
六到八节，保罗提到了七项恩赐。
6 to 8, Paul mentioned 7 different gifts.
如果你注意读，保罗没有花时间去描述每一个不同恩赐的功能，他们各个不同的责任。
Paul did not waste time to describe the.Different functions of that each gift.
保罗只注意一件事情，就是把全部的集中精神放在行使恩赐的态度上。
And Paul only said one thing that he's the attitude of the.
他所关心的是，是否我们每一个人可以把恩赐发挥到最大的极限。
Can we make good use of that gift to the ultimate use?
所以保罗，我们要注意这几节经文，保罗所用的这些词。
So we should use this several words.
他说要专一。
You to be seven.
要诚实。
To be honest.
要殷勤。
To be diligent.
要甘心。
To be cheerful.
保罗这些形容词，我们不能明白他的用意。
We cannot understand why Paul used this word.
他似乎是在对我们说，不论你的使命是什么，去做，努力的去做吧。
Paul is telling us, no matter what your calling is, just try to do it.
你们要这样的担心，当诚实的、甘心的、殷勤的、专一的去做。
You should do it diligently, cheerfully, and.
我们在教会的服事是否也是这样呢
？Do we have such attitude in our church?
所以这是保罗对恩赐的一个方向认识。
This is the Paul that he recognized all these gifts.
在罗马书里面，他从这个角度，我们是上帝所拯救的人，所以当我们在服事教会的时候，我们应当用我们的恩赐合乎中道，要彼此配搭，同时要尽心竭力。
We should make good use of these gifts and to build up each other.
那我跳过以弗所书跟彼得前书。
Let's jump over Ephesians and First Peter.
我用。总结的方式来看到保罗对于这六个恩赐的问题，他的结论是什么
？So that we will go to the conclusion of the gifts.
几件事情
，several things.
保罗用这么大的全副精神，只面对一个恩赐的问题，用这六段的经文来探讨。
Because this is a big topic, so Paul used 6 paragraphs of scriptures to talk about it.
第一方面，保罗用超过二分之一，甚至可以说75%的篇幅谈到方言的事情。
Paul used more than 75% talking about speaking in tongues.
似乎保罗明白今天的教会可能在方言出现一些困扰跟一些问题。
So Paul may recognize they may have some problems because of speaking in tongues.
所以他有先见之明，在这么多的恩赐重要的问题中间，他用这么大的篇幅来明白的教导我们。
So he used such big spaces to.Try to explain it to us what the speaking in tongues should be like.
所以，当我们看见今天方言对教会的困扰，我们就心里明白，也没有什么好大惊小怪的。
So when we see about the speaking in tongues as such big problem to church, it should not be threatened.
因为其来有志，保罗也早有明鉴。
Paul already foresaw it.
对方言的教会，哥林多教会，保罗谆谆的告诫他们。
So Paul teach them faithfully.
第二
about speaking in tongues.
第二
The second
爱的诗篇在哥林多前书十三章
First Corinthians chapter 13
是我们都明白的是脍炙人口耳熟能详家家愿意把它裱起来放在墙壁上的一幅名言
This is the song that everybody would put it in words and then hang it on our wall at home.
但不要忘记，保罗在讲到这个爱的诗篇的时候，是针对方言说的。
But don't forget that Paul was using that by means of speaking in tongues.
你明白吗？可以体会保罗他的用心之深。
Can you understand what Paul's heart?
对那些高举方言的人，保罗为他们下了一帖爱的良药，爱的处方。
So to those people, Paul gave them a medicine of love.
第三
，the third.
保罗在爱中说诚实话。
Paul used love to speak in love.
他真的是告诉在哥林多教会有这样问题的人，我用爱做根基来跟你们讲话，我要讲诚实话，盼望你们用爱心来接纳。
Paul was telling them in honesty, and yeah.
接纳什么呢
？To receive what?
先知讲道。
To accept, to receive the prophecy.
有更重要的优先次序。
To have higher order.
第四。
Fourth.
罗马书是从救恩的历史角度来看见。
Romans was from the angle of salvation.
我们应当使用我们的恩赐到一个极度，好叫我们在救恩中间，上帝为我们所做的救恩，我们有相对应的一个回应。
So that after we receive salvation, we have a reaction to God.
如果我们明白神这样的重价把我们买赎，所以当我们说我们愿意全人奉献给神的时候，那恩赐更何况要更大的极限的被主使用。
So if we want to sacrifice ourselves as a living sacrifice, God can use ultimately.
我很简单的讲到以弗所书，以弗所书是从教会生活的角度来看恩赐。
So Ephesians was from the angle of the we live together as a body.
给你们自己功课，以弗所书第四章一到十六节，你自己去念。
Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 16, you can read it yourself.
整卷以弗所书是谈到教会的生活。
All the whole book of Ephesians was talking about the lifestyle of the church.
前三章是有关教会的教义。
The first three chapters was talking about the doctrine.
后三章是教会生活的实践。
And also the later chapters were talking about the application.
所以保罗对教会是一体的，基督是头，我们都是肢体的那样合一性的一个教会见证，非常的真实。
So Paul was using that as an example. Christ was the head, and we are all bodies.
所以保罗在那里要提说，不要因为恩赐的缘故离开教会。
So Paul also reminds us not to because of a different gift then you depart from the church.
在我牧会的经验中间。
In my pastoring experience,
曾经有弟兄对我说
and some brothers told me,
陈牧师
Pastor Chan,
我想到别的教会去
I would like to go to the other church.
我说为什么
I say why.
他说因为我在这个教会没有人可以讲方言，我在这个教会没有那么 enjoy.
I cannot enjoy in this church.
我告诉他你应当不离开教会，在这个教会里面你不只是要 enjoy, 而是要发表你自己的恩赐，在神的教会中间一起建造。
So you should make use of a gift in the church.
所以保罗在以弗所书里面很苦心的谈到要合一，要接纳彼此的差异。我们应当在恩赐的研究上，应当彼此慢慢的到一个成熟的地步。
So we should apply that gift so that we can use it maturely.
使恩赐真正的可以成为教会的祝福。
So that the gift can become the blessing of the church.
而不是咒诅。
Not cursing.
所以以弗所书的标题是什么呢？第四章一到十八、十六节的标题应当是什么呢
？What is the theme of Ephesians? The theme of Ephesians.
到底恩赐应当是教会的祝福还是咒诅呢
？Will the gift become the blessing or the curse of the church?
盼望你我的恩赐在教会中间是一个资产的正数，而不是负数。
So that you and I can become the gift, become the church's assets, not liabilities.
第六
Number six.
彼得前书四章的那一段经文，又从另外一个角度来看恩赐问题。
First Peter chapter 4, it talks about another area of gift.
特别在第四章第十节那里说，个人要照所得的恩赐彼此服侍。
And also particular verse, chapter 4, verse 4.It says we should serve each other in these gifts.
彼得前书是谈到末世的事情。
Well, First Peter talks about the things that happen in this last generation.
在初代的教会，他们已经预见了耶稣基督再来的那样的心境。
And the early church, they already experienced attitude of being Christ will be coming again.
所以彼得也苦口婆心地盼望众圣徒们在这个末世应当殷勤，应当警醒，因为主随时就要再来。在这样的境况中间，我们要活乐地发表我们的恩赐。
So Peter was encouraging those people to express their gift to the church to help to build each other.
发表恩赐的目的是什么呢？
What is the purpose of manifesting your gift?
为的是要荣耀他的名。
To glorify his name.
这也是为什么四章十一节，彼得前书四章十一节这样说。
First Peter 4:11 it says like this.
叫神在凡事上因耶稣基督得荣耀，原来荣耀全能都是他的，直到永永远远，阿门。
So that all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory and the power.Forever and ever, Amen.
所有的恩赐的使用都要在末世，当基督再来的时候，我们要接受他的审判。
Everything we should do will be judged by him in the last generation.
所以那种急迫性，那种得荣性，那种将基督的彰显性，好叫彼得用这样的话告诉我们，应当做神的管家，把那神所赐给我们的恩赐，好像神的管家彼此来服侍，每一个人都包括在里面的。
So we should use the gift to serve each other as the steward of this gift.
那这是在圣经中间有关恩赐方面的神学以及圣经的教导，我相信已经相当完全。
So this is the talking about the gift and how to apply them is very complete.
那还有一些新约圣经中间还谈到很多有关恩赐的一些细项。
And some other places we still talk about the gifts.
那一些细项都要受这几段的经文的一些引导。
So those places will be guided by these places of scriptures.
那有些文字我想相当深刻，那
Some of the words are very hard.
求主也帮助我们。
May God help us.
如果有一些不太清楚的地方，那我们在往后的生活学习中间，我们彼此继续勉励，来明白更深上帝的旨意。
So that we can understand the deeper will of God.
那我也相信，在经过这样的明白之后，我们对于教会的方言问题、恩赐问题，你会有一些比较根本的神学的根基。
So after this, then you will understand theologically the gift, the meaning of gift.
我们一起祷告。
Let's pray.
父神，谢谢你。
Dear Heavenly Father, we.
你爱，因为你爱我们的缘故，把我们今世所会面对的问题，在你自己圣言中间早已将那可能发生的事启示给我们，好叫我们有一个方向可循。
Because you love us, so you already revealed this gift to us. Then we know that when things happen, we know what to do.
我们要特别为在座的这些弟兄姐妹们祷告。
We will pray for those people who sit here today.
让我们在学习这些真道的时候，可以成为你在恩赐中间的明白和见证人。
So that we can become your witness and also the understander of the gift.
让我们真心的愿意被主使用，在这个末后的世代来活用，来真正的活出恩赐的极限。
So that we can fulfill and make good use of this gift.
下一堂当我们要进到比较实际实践的时候，也求主你给我们一个火热的心。
And also give us a warm heart so that we can enter the last workshop.
预备的手。
To prepare our hearts, our hands.
服侍的脚。
To serve the serving legs.
好叫我们可以实际去行。
So that we can fulfill it.
谢谢你与我们同在。
Thank you for being with us.
这样子感谢祷告，是奉耶稣基督的圣名。
We pray this in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen.